From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he continues a series of studies in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, that passage often referred to as Faith's Hall of Fame. The text for this message is verses 28 and 29, verses which speak of two acts of faith on the part of Moses and the children of Israel. First, they kept the Passover, a reminder that they had been saved from the death angel by the sprinkling of blood. Then they passed through the Red Sea, a symbol of God's deliverance from the enemy of their souls. In this message entitled Salvation Signified and Sealed Through Faith, Dr. Cairns will draw important spiritual lessons regarding what God through Christ has accomplished for His people. First of all, we'll see how the Passover signified the salvation of Israel from the death which claimed the firstborn of Egypt. Dr. Cairns will bring the opening portion of the message in a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. We love Him because He first loved us. There is no light in the planet but that which proceedeth from the sun, and there is no true love to Jesus in the heart but that which cometh from the Lord Jesus Himself. From this overflowing fountain of the infinite love of God, all our love to God must spring. This must ever be a great and certain truth, that we love Him for no other reason than because He first loved us. Our love to Him is the fair offspring of His love to us. Cold admiration when studying the works of God anyone may have, but the warmth of love can only be kindled in the heart by God's Spirit. How great the wonder that such as we should ever have been brought to love Jesus at all! How marvelous that when we had rebelled against Him, He should, by a display of such amazing love, seek to draw us back! No, never should we have had a grain of love towards God, unless it had been sown in us by the sweet seed of His love to us. Love, then, has for its parent the love of God shed abroad in the heart. But after it is thus divinely born, it must be divinely nourished. Love is an exotic. It is not a plant which will flourish naturally in human soil. It must be watered from above. Love to Jesus is a flower of a delicate nature, and if it received no nourishment but that which could be drawn from the rock of our hearts, it would soon wither. As love comes from heaven, so it must feed on heavenly bread. It cannot exist in the wilderness unless it be fed by manna from on high. Love must feed on love. The very soul and life of our love to God is His love to us. I love Thee, Lord, but with no love of mine, for I have none to give. I love Thee, Lord, but all the love is Thine, for by Thy love I live. I am as nothing, and rejoice to be emptied and lost and swallowed up in Thee.
My Jesus fair was pierced by thorns, by thorns grown from the fall. Thus He who gave the curse was torn, free that curse for all. My Jesus meek was scorned by men, by men in blasphemy.
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
I want to return today to a couple of verses that I included in last week's message. They were included, however, on that occasion merely in reference to Moses, but I think that they go much further than Moses' personal testimony. I'm referring to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 28 and 29. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. The Lord never leaves his people without a revelation of his will. The revelation of the will of God is received by God's people and acted on by faith alone. Faith and faithful action will always be rewarded by a further revelation of God's person, God's presence, God's purpose, God's promise, and God's power. And in this way, God's revealed will is carried through by the faith of His people. Now that, in essence, is the whole message of Hebrews chapter 11. In every instance that is here mentioned among the heroes of faith, you have a revelation of God's will. You have the reception and action upon that revelation by faith. You have the reward of faith in a further, deeper revelation of God and His person and working. And in that way, God's work is tied in to the faith of God's people. In the verses we have taken as our text this morning, we have two of the most celebrated instances in all the Word of God that show these Scripture principles and truths in action. We have read first of the Passover. In verse 28, through faith, He kept the Passover. Concerning that Passover, the Lord said in Exodus 12 and 42 that it is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. Surely a celebrated night. In fact, it was a night that the children of Israel were never allowed to forget. And if they ever did forget, it would be the mark of their apostasy. Every year, there was the celebration in the first month of the ecclesiastical year. There was the celebration of the Passover. To this day, every year among the Jews, there is the celebration of the Passover in something of a truncated fashion because there's no blood sacrifice anymore. But nonetheless, to this day, that night in Egypt is etched upon the memory of the Jewish people, a celebrated occasion. And certainly the same would be true of what happened at the Red Sea. When you read the prophets and when you read the Psalms, you will find that again and again there is reference to the great and terrible working of the Lord on behalf of His people at the Red Sea. That was a constant topic for the preaching and the praying and the praising of God's people in the generations that followed. Now the conjunction of the grace of God and the faith of the people of God is always very, very important. But in a matter of life and death, like what we have read of in Exodus 12, and then again in Exodus 14, that union between God's grace and His people's faith is even more important. We have read a passage this morning and a text that explains it, or gives God's divine and inspired interpretation of it. And as we bring them together, we will see that we have salvation signified and sealed, and I'm using those words very carefully, and in a theological fashion, and I'll explain them momentarily. We have salvation signified and sealed through faith. And as Paul works this great theme out, he deals with the theme of salvation, then he introduces words that lead us to think of the sacraments that signify and seal salvation, and then he speaks of security that God's people have in this salvation which God signifies and seals, their security by faith in Christ. Salvation, the sacraments that signify and seal it, and then the security that enjoys it. Those are the points that Paul raises, And I want us this morning to think upon them for a little time. Now let's start where Paul starts with salvation. He says in verse 28, through faith, he that is Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. The word kept is probably not the best translation. It is a perfectly legitimate translation of the word that's used, but it's probably not the best in this particular instance. It's hard to, at least in English, talk about keeping the sprinkling of blood, especially since the blood, as we'll see as we go on, was only sprinkled on the doorposts and lintel once, and that was in Egypt. That was never a part of the later Passover celebration. So it's hard to think of him keeping that. The idea is that he instituted it, or he observed it. And of course, Moses is put here not in a merely personal capacity, but for all the people at his leadership, under the direction of the Lord. The entire nation of Israel observed the Passover, and they observed the sprinkling of the blood. That's the first thing. Regarding their salvation, they were redeemed. Now we come to verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. Now here again they were in great danger from their enemy. But the Lord delivered them and led them through the Red Sea. And that tells us that they were preserved. Now here are the two great elements in their salvation. They were redeemed and they were reserved, or they were kept. I want us to think of those two elements this morning, because they are still the leading elements in our salvation. Thank God there is redemption through the blood of Christ. But thank God there is preservation by the mighty power of Him who redeemed us. God doesn't save you to abandon you to Pharaoh at a later stage. He doesn't save you from the devil now merely to give you back to him when the devil attacks at a later time. He redeems you, and thank God He preserves that which He has purchased with the blood of the Lamb. Now let's look at these two things in order. Verse 28, the redemption, we're told that he observed the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. And we're told that he did this, note the wording very carefully, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Now that is a wonderful statement. It's actually capable of being translated and construed in two different ways. And I think the Holy Spirit has used the words very carefully, because both sides of the translation are true. He observed the Passover and the sprinkling of blood in order that the destroyer should not touch them. That's a perfectly legitimate way of presenting what Paul wrote. Moses and the people of Israel slew the lamb. They caught the blood in a basin. They took the hyssop. They dipped it in the blood. They applied the blood to the side posts and to the lintel of the house, not to the threshold, for only apostates trample the blood of the Lamb under their feet. And as they did this, according to the divine direction, they did it with the purpose that the destroyer might not touch the children of Israel. But equally well, those words can be translated that they observed the Passover so that the destroyer did not touch. Speaking rather of effect or result rather than aim and purpose. Now, here are two ideas. I'm only really going to present them to you to think about rather more fully. Two ideas that the Holy Spirit has carefully connected with the theme of redemption through Christ the Lamb. The first idea is the purpose of the sacrifice and the sprinkling of the blood. And the second is the effect of the sacrifice and the sprinkling of the blood. And I want you to notice a basic biblical truth, one of the greatest axioms in Reformed theology. We ought never to forget it. And it's this, that the purpose of the sacrifice of Christ exactly corresponds with the effect of the sacrifice of Christ. And the effect of the sacrifice of Christ exactly corresponds with the purpose of the sacrifice of Christ. Sounds very simple. And yet how many people stumble over it? The whole controversy over the extent of the atonement, over what Jesus Christ actually did in the atonement, is settled once you recognize that what God purposed can be gauged by what God effects by the sacrifice. God did not set out to do one thing by the death of Christ and end up doing another thing. What he purposed to do, he did. And what he did was what he purposed to do. Now, let's just project ourselves toward the end of time. Let's get to the moment when all things are wrapped up and headed up in Christ. Let's get to the moment when the last of the redeemed has been brought in. Tell me, if you could have divine arithmetic rather than human, and if you could gather together all the redeemed in heaven and number them, you would have a particular people in heaven. Now at the same time, there would be other people in hell. But look at those people in heaven. Then look at those people in hell and ask yourself, what was the purpose of Jesus Christ in offering his sacrifice on Calvary? And I'll tell you, the purpose is the exact equivalent of the effect. The purpose was to bring those people to heaven. And there was absolutely no chance of any failure in the purposed sacrifice of Christ. Twin thoughts then. What is purposed by the sacrifice and what is performed by the sacrifice, and there is absolutely no lack of correspondence between them.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.